Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran. It's a Faith and Family Friday, and I'm joined by my wife, Carrie. Hi, dear.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, it's the first time you've been on all year.
Yeah.
Ah, did you see what I did there?
Yeah,
see how clever I am?
For so long.
Let's do a quick review of our year. That's 2 days old. All right. Today we are going to do a year in review. We're going to do a quick review of Christmas. We'll do a quick review of, if we can get to it, the word generator, saint generator. But we also have a year in review with seven questions that are really meaty. I can't wait to dive into them. And I'm going to do that today with my wife, Carrie. Back in a minute.
Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com. drtomcurran.com.
Hey, welcome back to the program. All right, we're going to begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord our God, we thank you and praise you for the gift of 2025, the opportunity to be a family that has faith and is striving to live their faith. Lord, we want to grow in our union with you, our love of you. Lord, we need you. And so we ask for blessings upon this program. May you anoint truly Carrie and me to be able to serve well those who are listening. And I pray blessings upon each and all of them. And we make this prayer, Jesus, in your holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, Carrie, I'm real excited to have you on today. Yeah. And it's really neat to be able to do a program really at the beginning of the year. Last couple of days I've been talking about launching well in 2025. And honestly, I do feel this, it's more than just optimism and just a good feeling. I feel this sense of spiritual energy, this sense of anointing that 2025 is going to have, it's going to have some decisive qualities to it. And do you feel that way at all?
Yeah, actually, I feel very positive and hopeful for the year that's coming up. I'm happy to say goodbye to the previous year, even though we're going to look at seven different questions to just kind of give us a framework for how we want to set goals for the year coming up. As I've already reflected on them, I'm thinking there are some hard parts to 2024, and I'm glad that we are moving into a new year.
Yeah. And I'm actually glad that you introduced this way of framing the idea of how do we want to live in 2025, because I tend to be more visionary oriented. And so this morning or yesterday morning when I was praying, I started in my journal to paint a picture of what our life would look like at the end of 2025. And so it was very much visionary oriented towards the future. And as you and I started to talk about, how are we going to engage in a life-giving conversation that's a blessing to folks who are listening around the idea of planning well in 2025? And you had a different approach. And it was one that you got from one of your preferred podcasts.
One of my podcasts, Sahil Bilum. He's a entrepreneur, was an investor, and he just writes a blog. I think it's called Curiosity Challenge, or let me look here, Curiosity Chronicle. But anyhow, he just says that before you begin to plan for the year up and coming, why don't you take some real thoughtful time to go back and actually look at the year. And so when I went back and looked at his questions in my year, I had to actually use my phone photos and calendar to remember what happened in the last 12 months. In doing it, I felt heavy and at the same time accomplished, because when you go back and look at your whole year and you see all that's happened, it is quite astonishing. I felt like I was looking back at maybe 3 years instead of just one. And a couple of times I thought that happened just a year ago. Some of these things I thought happened 4 years ago or 3 years ago. So it's interesting to just be able to use your phone and technology to help kind of reminisce and also reflect on what was that all about. And now how can I, with energy and a sense of cleansing, build for 2025?
Yeah, and I had a similar experience when I was taking your approach seriously and said, let me reflect back on 2024. I didn't go any further back until the end of May. That was just because of the decisive conversation we had then that connected to the Camino, which is going to show up quite a bit in this conversation. But I was thinking to myself, wait a minute, what happened before that? And I tended to find a lot of my answers in really just the last 2 or 3 months. In terms of the year in review, it was really almost the last quarter of the year in review. And so it was an invigorating process. And so folks, as we start to dive into these questions, this year in review, these 7 questions, they're going to take some thoughtfulness to them. And so we're going to share you answers that aren't just spontaneous. We've given some time to come up with our own answers. And I know that that conversation could easily take way more than the program. So,
I also think if you do this with your spouse or a person, another person, it allows for conversation and back and forth, and just some things have shown up as we talked about it that really helped go deeper, just talking out loud about it.
yeah. So before we dive into that, do you want to do a quick review of Christmas? Because I think you feel kind of proud about how Christmas went this year.
It was a great Christmas. It hasn't snowed too much, thank the Lord. No, Christmas was great in that almost all the kids were here except for one. And I felt just a lot less hectic and running around and spending time and energy on things that
You said spending, and then you said time and energy. I thought you were going to say something else after spending.
Well, the money part was a great hit. We did not buy our kids as much as we had in the past.
Is that the royal we? Because I didn't buy
Yes.
anything, and
I
I don't think I've bought anything for any of my kids in
want,
years.
here's the thing, I'm already focusing on Christmas as all about presents, and that's not what Christmas is really about. But in our culture, I feel like I get caught up in that, or we all do, and to a certain extent, it felt that the kids stepped up and did their part to make it a very shared experience where everyone was helping in so I felt very peaceful and I didn't have to carry the weight of it all in the way
Well,
that I've had in the past.
and
So
what was striking to me is if I compare this to the Christmases that I had when I grew up, I think of the three youngest, the three that are still at home, 15, 14, and 12. And I would say that I was impressed that they did not have much of a focus on how many gifts they got, how expensive those gifts were, how special they were. They were just right in the midst of.
the focus has been on time together, going to on outings, down in the bedrooms. They share different favorite shows or different favorite YouTube things they watch. Having
Playing
conver
games, a lot of
just
card games. Connect Four. Who would have thought Connect Four would be such a fun game for college students?
just piled in a bed and sharing stories and giggling and laughing. I mean, things that you think should be the most important. So it's been really wonderful, just much more focused on the relationships and being together. We've done a lot of great spiritual outings and faith things that I was really thrilled about. There's a couple of things that were misses, but it's been a real blessing. I'm just glad that I have a week before they're all off and out, and I've honestly lost track of time of day and day of the week just about every day. So I'm wanting to get back into some kind of routine and have my space.
So in the middle of all that, we entered into the new year. And so let's save the word generator until the end of the program,
Okay.
if you'd
Well,
like.
actually, we could do that another time, only because we did the word generator just quickly pick a word, but I really like to do more of a prayer phrase. What's a scripture? What's the Lord telling you for this year? So we do have fun words, but there's nothing real profound in that, except allowing the Holy Spirit to do that. But I really feel like there's more to that than just, having the phone pop up a word.
Yeah. You know, yesterday I did one on the program live for folks who hadn't done it and don't have access to it. So I prayed for those who needed one. You know what the word was that came up? It was allow. And the most of the program was talking about allowing Jesus to be born into your life and your heart and your family in a new way in the spirit of Christmas.
Cool.
So I thought that was pretty cool.
Cool.
All right. Well, let's talk about 2025 and preparing for 2025 well by doing an annual year in review.
All right. Well, let's just start with highlights. Just three highlights from your year, Tom, and then I'll do mine, and then we'll go into what would we like to change? Wait, what did I change my mind about? Cut, edit, delete.
Well, there are seven questions in the year in review, and the first one is, what did I change my mind about this year?
Yeah.
And then the questions go on from there. But
Tom remodeled his office. I'm just going to say this. And so I love that you hung the whiteboards. Like, we've never used whiteboards for our show, and that you did these two huge whiteboards on the wall, and we just quickly sketched out everything. But it's to the left of us, so our microphones are in front of us. So I don't know if you can hear.
Yeah, you can just do this, Carrie. Just turn this way, and you can just... That's not that so complicated.
Full.
Isn't that great?
Yes. I love this. I think we'll just change the direction of your tape. Oh, wait, then you wouldn't be able to see it. Okay. Anyhow.
It's a whole new you, dear.
Just a side note. This is one of your hits. Okay.
This, well, I have like the MVP of hits of this year was going on the Camino.
That was your highlight.
Yeah. That was the highlight of the last 20 years. I mean, that was a big deal. Well, it was so disruptive in a gracious way. I'm not sure I've done anything quite as disruptive. The only other thing I could think of that was as disruptive was probably doing the 21-day water fast.
Yeah, that was really amazing. Oh, yeah, we did do a fast earlier on. See, I forgot some of the things that we did.
That was a year ago.
Oh.
That wasn't this past year. That was the year before.
One of my highlights was our family reunion and just organizing that. We did the whole Survivor theme. And kids coming home from college after being gone for a year. Not that that was my highlight, that they were gone, but just seeing how we discerned that, and we saw the fruit of that last spring. And also this year too. We've seen them just really grow into young men and women. And it's just been such a blessing, such a gift, because you can't take that for granted. And I just need to continually praise and thank God. Also, our daughter's graduation, that was a huge highlight, just that she achieved what she did and the amount of time she did, and celebrating her graduation from college. My last highlight is when we went away to Boise, because this is where the whole Camino conversation started.
Yeah.
But that time away, kind of clearing the deck, God spoke to us in some really neat ways. And, you know, sometimes we go away and it can be very fruitful and powerful. And sometimes it's, you know, just nice to get away and enjoy a new place. But this was actually one of those times where in the last 5 years, it really moved the dial.
Well, that actually brings us to the first question. What did I change my mind about this year? And that was, I finally said yes to you when you said we need to get away. And that was the going to Boise conversation.
Oh, I finally said yes, and I left for 40 days.
No.
Go away retreat.
Well, and you can see under number two, which is what created energy this year. It was our going away to reflect was what created energy. But it's really connected to what I changed my mind about, which was taking you seriously when you said, it's not good enough for us simply to like get away for an afternoon or take advantage of the fact that the kids are at school and we're going to, you know, reflect in the house. Now we had to do more than that. We needed an actual to uproot and go away and not be accessible to the kids.
Yes.
That I changed my mind on that. And I did it more out of simply honoring you and some of the frustrations that you are having around the need we have to have some of these crucial conversations.
You know, that brings one to mind. I have changed my mind about my kids coming home for summer and working. I really feel like if they feel called to go to another location and work and do some kind of summer employment or internship, I'm almost encouraging them, because as you say those reflections, Tom, I see how quickly we just kind of get caught up in the day-to-day and the routines and the mundane in a bad way, not in a great way, not in a life-giving way. And I think that happens to our kids as well. And what I've noticed from them coming home is there's a disconnect for them from being in college and having the freedom and having their routines and schedule and living their life and then coming here. And I said to them, they're like, gosh, it feels like I'm not as productive or I'm not as healthy in my habits, or, you know, it's going to mass every day and now it's been harder. And I said to them, that's actually part of the whole process of leaving the nest or leaving mom and dad and moving away and having that independent sense of identity. And all of us go through that. And that years where we come back from college and we're looking at our family in a new light because we've been with other kids and other families. And there's just now a foil or a way to reflect on who am I, know thyself, and who am I in this family system. And then we all fall into that kind of routine of when we just come home and crash. Like,
yeah, I've got to wrap my mind around that because I don't really like that. It means I'm being a father in a different way and I have to get used to it. Like, I think I'm used to it with my oldest daughter, Mary Grace, where she has made it clear I don't live at home. But for the four that are at Steubenville, the idea that when they're in not graduating from college, but in their in middle years, not coming home, this is still home. It's still the center of their universe. And that's changing if they go away for most of the summer for an internship. So, all right, we're up against a break here. Let's continue the conversation in a minute. Hey, welcome back to the program. So, Carrie, we're talking about a year in review. And the first big question was, what did I change my mind about this year? And for me, the biggest thing I changed my mind about was I put the word down retirement, but it's really, I changed my mind about the meaning that I'm in the second half of my life professionally. And that's a shift I've talked about with executives as an executive coach. And this year, I've taken that way, this past year, way more seriously.
Yeah, I noticed that a lot when we would go on walks that you had a lot more content because you were listening to some podcasts relating to some coaching you wanted to do. And you were just kind of blowing up with all this insight and understanding and wanting to take next steps to what does this mean for our future. And it was actually really cool when you have these aha moments and they shift your way of seeing the next 5 years in such a significant way that you feel there's progress or there's growth happening. I just love when that happens. It's harder for me or when I'm not growing or I'm not feeling like, what am I doing, quote unquote? It just is disenchanting to me or discouraging. So when you had this whole aha experience related to the Camino and also related to your job, it was wonderful to see that happen.
Well, I think, simply put, I was no longer simply immersed in my life, just immersed in the day-to-day where I don't come up for air and reflect about my life.
Interesting.
And so that is what changed last year was, wait a minute, I'm going to reflect on what's coming and how am I going to live in the light of that? So that was the biggest thing I changed my mind about this year.
Mine was almost similar. Disneyland.
That was big. Yeah. You want to be princess? And
question. What did you change your mind about? That was hard for me. But I do know that I was pretty down on Disney for many, many years. And I'm not like 100% love it, all that. But I finally said, okay, we'll go and see Mickey and Minnie. And so I'm glad we did. It was a great trip.
Was you and the three daughters while I was away.
Yes.
Yeah, that was good. Good for you. All right. Second question. What created energy this year? And this is connected to the next one, which is what drained energy this year? So what created energy this year for you, dear?
Again, I had to really think about this and go back through my phone diary because, and it can go in different ways. Like, is it spiritual? Is it healthy eating? Is it relational? Is it hobbies? There's so many ways in which we get energy and energy is pulled from us. And just knowing who I am was an interesting, I think that's just an interesting conversation I had with myself. Walking on the river with you as you did the pre-Camino preparation, I really enjoyed those walks. They were extended. I didn't feel rushed. It was beautiful settings, amazing weather. I want the summer to come. And then the conversations we had were usually just good. Sometimes there were hard conversations we had, but I really looked forward to that because I felt like we were talking about important things and trying to kind of go into the next stage of our life. And so I really enjoyed that whole aspect, and it really brought me energy to do that kind of workout.
I think there are three parts to that. The first one was that we normally would have these like meaningful conversations at home. I'm on the couch and you're in the chair, we're having coffee. And that became a little bit stale. And I think you get a little frustrated at times if we're just talking. And it's like, you like to be moving too.
Yeah. And I also know that I have my best time of day. And so I didn't want to sit there and talk. I mean, sometimes it's great because I really do need to be sharp and aware when we're having deeper conversations, but I would get impatient or antsy. Like, I gotta like go load the dishwasher.
No, I know. No. And the second, so the second part was that we were out walking, and because we were walking pretty much every day, and the walk was probably at least an hour every day, it meant that we had a lot of time together. And so it was going to be more than just catch up conversations. It was going to be, let's go deeper conversations. And what are we reflecting on? So I think that was also beautiful. And then obviously the setting, and then just the energy that comes from exercising, even though we weren't, you know, breaking any speed records, there was just still that aspect of, we are moving in a healthier fashion.
You know, what's so interesting is with podcasts and YouTube videos, I go to those to get new insight or new content. And then I want to bring that to a conversation. I want to process it with somebody. And I usually don't, because I'm doing it while I'm doing chores or whatnot around the house, and life kind of moves on. But it was really nice that we were both consuming content and then being able to kind of go through and talk about the different things we were listening to or reading or watching, which is a new phenomenon now.
Hey, we actually recorded a couple of radio programs walking.
Oh yeah, that's right.
One together, and then I did one or two by myself. So that was cool.
Yeah.
Well, for me, what created energy this year, I put down going away to reflect. And then the second was actually going on the Camino, being on the Camino. It did create a lot of energy. And the funny thing was that it's not like, oh, I got in such great shape. I ended up getting in way better shape, but it was more the energy around these like divine appointments, great conversations with people, and the idea that I'm headed towards this 10X life, right? This life that is going to really honor God in more exemplary way. So that brought me so much energy.
And then you mentioned being off your phone and technology and just having a lot of hours to reflect, to pray, to sing.
So much else, yes. And I've talked a ton about that last year. But to say it out loud, the number of hours I was praying, the to see my whole life through the lens of penance, solitude, silence, seeking the Lord, and then evangelizing the people that I would talk with, that was every day. Mm-hmm. That was so cool.
Something that brought me energy was planning, creating this family reunion, and also was a highlight. And I think when I'm working on a project that is outward facing towards a community or my family or my own children here, it makes me excited and I want to do my best. I have this sense of excellence because I see that I'm building towards something and it needs to be, I don't know, I just pour everything into it, but I don't do it often. And it has to be something that I really enjoy. And so that was the main focus as far as building something this year was the reunion, even though it lasted 3 days, 4 days.
Well, it was an amazing reunion. I think that was the sublime. And at the very practical, you, a number of times, had to get up in the morning and drive Annalise.
Oh, you know, that was actually amazing. You know how I struggle with waking up early and having to be forced to get up and then watch the sunrise multiple mornings and just being up and awake and having not just time with her, but a sense of the day's beginning. It's only 7 o'clock. I love that.
Yeah, that's so cool. All right. The next question is, what drained energy this year? I have three. I'll go first. I have bad eating, shoulder injury, and relational strife. Boy, those are three winners, huh?
Well, it is a depressing question.
No kidding. What drained energy this year? And I tried to go after three different things, right? So the shoulder injury is something that's just bugging the heck out of me. And I don't, like, something I forget is that When there's pain, even though if it's background pain, it drains energy.
Yes.
And when I stop and say shoulder injury, I feel pain in my shoulder. It's like, oh, it's there, but I'm just veiling it when I'm doing most of the things I'm doing, but it's always present. So that's draining me. And I think that's something, I don't know if folks are really aware of that. Second is bad eating, right? And I only know how much that drains me because of healthy eating and fasting. When I was healthy eating and fasting, I had so much more energy. And then around the holidays, I can find a great excuse. Holidays began probably just before Halloween, and it's continued on since then. So the last few months have been just this downhill plunge into darkness of high and low energy. And whether it's bad food or alcohol, it just drains me. It's terrible. And then relational strife, when you and I are not in peace over us trying to manage and deal with difficult relationships with a daughter of ours, or even us trying to manage that, it is so draining.
Yeah, it's really hard. I think that was one of my key ones, was my relationship with my daughter. Helping you with real estate / our rentals, I just have come to this realization that I'm not good at it. And I mean, it is work. And I know they have all these YouTube, TikTok videos where they encourage people, oh, just buy a rental and it'll cash flow and it's really easy. And it is so much work, and it's nonstop, and it's every, week. And yes, I'm complaining. So maybe I just don't like work. And my phone, I think that I can tell by the end of the night, or when I have dreams in the middle of the night, the phone usage it does energize me, because I will share that later. There are things on it that I really value, but when I misuse it, it drains me. It drains my sense of accomplishing things.
When I was sick the last couple of weeks, I spent a lot more time on the phone because I just had so little energy that became such a safety net to just get the surface buzz. That's what it is. It's just a surface buzz of intensity on especially videos. And it's just like, wow, what a waste of a life. Yeah.
Well, so. I think it's all in moderation, Tom. I'm kind of like, I don't want to be without it, but I need to have better accountability.
Okay. Question 4, Carrie. What were my anchors this year? What or who were my anchors this year? So it's your turn.
This might sound funny. Our bookkeeper, because she kept us in line, and we meet every month. And if
she comes to the house.
Yes.
And we do how much work in preparation for her coming?
I do an hour.
Do you really?
Yes. I have to gather everything. And
that's almost as long as I do.
Open all those
an hour more.
Get all the receipts. But it's just been so nice to have someone just keep our records in order and not have to worry or stress in a way that was just unnecessary. She's worth every penny we pay her. She's a wonderful, wonderful person. And I just am so grateful that we have her. Is she the new this year?
Yeah.
This year, yeah. I just highly recommend, if you have a family business or even your own accounting with your spouse, if it's tricky and difficult, it's so nice to have someone who can sit there and smile and just kind of keep us on target. And we jokingly say to her, why don't you get some like marriage therapy classes under your belt? Because you could probably charge twice as much. Because when we talk about money, it gets a little, it could become confrontational or argumentative, Tom and I. But when she's there, we just like all really stay in our lane or in our box, and we get stuff done. And then when she's gone, we're like, oof, that's great. It's done. And it's a great sense of relief. Another anchor is my sisters, a couple of my sisters have really walked with me in this last semester. Has been really hard and trying with one of our children. And I didn't talk to them necessarily every week, but boy, when I needed help or guidance or encouragement or what do I do, they were both just awesome. I'm so blessed.
Well, and that was a blessing, because I wasn't that for you. You and I were in conflict at times.
Yeah.
And sometimes it was pretty significant, and we were just at sort of loggerheads. And so for you to have sisters that you could trust enough to share deeply, transparently what was going on, was huge.
Yes. And they weren't just there to listen. They actually are both they take action, which is I needed someone to help me. Like, what do I do? And they were both experienced in that. So thank the Lord. And my women's group. Wait, is that? Oh, yeah. So we have a women's group, and we did not meet all last fall. And I really missed them. And last spring, we did a book club. And every week we gathered, we pray together, share life together. It was just really, I missed that. And that was a real anchor for me. I think all women need some level of connection with other moms, other wives, because we're so relational and kind of the heart of the home. It's just so important. And so I think I didn't take it for granted. I just didn't have the energy or the wherewithal to do it this last fall.
Nice. Okay. So my anchors, I would say the first one was the book, He Leadeth Me. I know that sounds odd, but that book had such a profound impact on my life. I read it at the beginning of the year. So that was probably the furthest back I went was He Leadeth Me. And I read it a couple of times, made a ton of notes, and it really takes that long to have that the insights permeate mm-hmm. into the sort of the core of my being.
Yes. I read a couple pages. It's profound.
It is profound. And again, I think a lot of people just skim it. They don't really get what he's saying. And he feels, you can feel a little bit of his frustration at the beginning where he's saying, look, I'm going to make these points, but I'm not sure you're going to get it. It's not exactly the way he says it.
Yeah.
But boy, he has some profound points in there about how everything is God's providence. Yeah. All that is happening to you when you're living that life of faith, it's God's providence pouring it forth into your life.
When you're living that life of faith, that's a key point. Okay.
Yeah. The second was my commitment to the Camino. I'm not just saying walking on the Camino, but my commitment to it, because that, and that had the anticipatory 50 days. It was the 34 days on the Camino. And then at least the month after that Camino through the month of October.
That was an anchor clearly for both of us.
Yeah.
It kept us both kind of like, this is what we're doing. This is what it's about.
Absolutely. And that from within that was the rosary.
Wonderful.
I prayed the rosary so many times on that Camino. I prayed a year worth of rosaries on that Camino. But it was so beautiful and powerful, and it helped reinvigorate my own commitment to the rosary. So I'm very grateful to God for that gift as well. So this is Tom Kernan with my wife, Carrie, and we're walking through a year in review. We're looking at seven questions. What did I change my mind about this year? What created energy this year? What drained energy this year? And what were my anchors this year? We've covered those questions. When we come back, we're going to dive into the last three. What did I not do because of fear is the first of those. And we'll cover that when we return. Back in a minute. Hey, welcome back to the program. So Carrie, we are doing our year in review as a way of preparing to live 2025 well. I'd rather talk about the visionary, where are we headed? But in order to do that well, it takes an honest look at where did we come from? What happened last year can be a wonderful gift. It can provide us with some guidance, with some support in approaching this well. So we've taken a look at the first four of these questions.
I don't like this question.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think this
What did I not do because of fear? What did I not do because of fear? Why don't you like that question?
Well, the one thing that I like about the question is it makes me more aware of what am I doing this year and what am I avoiding or what could I do, or if money wasn't a question or if time wasn't a problem or if relational strife wasn't an issue, what would I want to do with the gifts God has given me? And I think that's why we're here, is to help us in our marriage and in our children come alive to, well, what is my purpose here and my specific unique purpose? I mean, we all have the general purposes, but what am I called with my gifting and strengths to do for the kingdom of God? And so that's important that I look at that question, but I don't know. I think it makes me feel like, did I not do it because I was slothful or I was distracted or...
That's an interesting way of putting the question. What did I not do because of fear? You could have said instead, what did I not do that I should have done and why didn't I do it? So you left the source of the obstacle or the blockage.
Like But then that opens it up. Now I could answer that with like 18 different things I did not do that I should have done.
What did I have to do because of fear?
Because of
the emphasis
fear.
Is about fear there. So,
and I'm trying to think, what do I fear or what am I afraid of? I did say, I had this desire to do a podcast with you that kind of gives couples a chance to give their testimony about how they left an area in the country to move to a kind of a Benedict option. Because we were part of so many amazing stories and heard just really beautiful marital, relational love, joy, even the struggle, but seeing God's hand, his providence, his protection, his provision in these stories, I wanted to, you know, shout it from the mountaintop, like, look how good and faithful God is, and have other people, I mean, for them to be able to share that story so powerful so that we don't forget. You know, I think it's part of Old Testament was where you tell these stories of God's faithfulness so we remember and we can give him glory and honor. And so it was kind of a stewardship, I felt, that this is something we should do to really honor their journey, which is incredible, all of them and what they undertook to come here or wherever they moved to. And then honor the Lord and how he was with them. And I just never followed through with it. I don't know if it's out of, I think partly it was fear because I would have to up my game and I'd have to say no to a lot of other things and yes to just this thing and maybe one other thing in my life. And the fear is I'm going to miss out on all these other things that I want to spend my time on. And it could be as simple as I want to keep my house orderly and I want to stay in shape. So I need time to work out and I need to, you know, have fun. So I have to have these, you know, outings planned. And so there's a fear of missing out on this fun life where God calls me to do this work. It's a real work. And hopefully when we're called to do a work, we're passionate about it and we know God's calling us to it. And we follow that. And I feel like I let those stories down. I don't think I let the people down, but the stories that could give God his glory and his due, I did not have a place to share them. I mean, of course, the stories aren't dead. They can share them, however. But I just felt like there's a lot of people that would be so blessed by that.
Yeah, and I guess I would say if we didn't do it, so that there's something there that we didn't do it. I certainly didn't do it because of fear. For me, it would have been, I've got this wonderful visionary attitude and I'm so busy doing so many other things, et cetera, that it just got crowded out. And so it sort of passed by the wayside. But at the same time, as I think about like, what was the motivation for me to do it? It's that for many, for a number of Catholics, what it's going to take to preserve, rescue, or deepen the faith of that family is in fact an uprooting, a moving, and a planting in another location. And that other location is going to be a healthier one that will lead to more flourishing. And the, for me, sad reality is that I'm not aware of any book, podcast, writings, YouTube channel that covers that theme. And I do consider it a really crucial one because the alternatives are that people will just simply say, it's too much, I can't do it. It's really not possible. It's really not that much better. And so testimonies as well as tactics, tips, strategies would be, a huge blessing for families and families who are going to end up finding that their kids just get eviscerated and slaughtered by the Herods in the situations that they're in. So
that's very depressing.
Yeah.
Don't like that messaging.
Well, what did I?
I know people that are where they are, where they are at, and they feel called to be there, and God is definitely with them. So,
and that's different. That is not the circumstance of the person I'm talking about. So, what did I not do because of fear? I put down, this is not an easy one to say out loud, challenge my kids, because that does have to do with fear, and it takes the form of passivity. And I started in on an examination of conscience on this on the 31st, but I ran out of time. John of the Cross smashed me enough and I didn't get a chance to get into that.
That's why I don't read those books.
Yeah.
Don't need to be smashed.
But he, you know, challenging my kids in a way that would be confrontative, confronting my kids in a way that said, I'm going to risk losing goodwill or esteem, or I'm going to change the mode of how I'm a father to them. And it was a shift in I'm protecting them and I'm providing for them, but am I really leading them? And if I'm not pushing them and confronting them, then I'm really not leading them. So that dimension of being a father is something that I did not do because of fear. And it's something that I'm working on. So I consider that one that is something I continue to reflect on. And what does that mean? How do I do that well? Because I think that something like that is associated with how I was brought up by my own father, in part. So that was the model I had, conscious or not. And I know that I'm 60 years old now. So at some point, I've got to let go of the fact that my father taught me how to be a father and realize that, no, I'm not limited by that. I'm beyond that. And I can go beyond new limitations as I'm aware of them as well. So
it's interesting. I've never thought about it in the light of it's just really uncomfortable to do some of the things you're required to do as a father and a mother. I know there are conversations that I've not had with my kids because it's uncomfortable and it's work and it's being vulnerable and it's, it can be messy or it's like, I don't know how to do this. And they're really important conversations. Sometimes I just, Lord, help this conversation happen. Holy Spirit, come and, you know, guide this area where this son or daughter needs this. That's why I love God. Parents and aunts and uncles and confirmation sponsors, these other adults to have these hard conversations, send them to great schooling in K through 12. But you're right, Tom, it's really hard to kind of face, I don't know. There's a lot there and you just kind of give it over to the Lord at a certain point and hope that they don't end up in prison. No, just kidding. All right. What else do we have here?
Well, I think, well, let's pause. Let's go to a break. And when we come back, we'll take on the last two questions. What were my greatest hits and what were my biggest misses? Okay. Back in 1 minute.
Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com. drtomcurran.com.
Hey, welcome back to the program. All right, Carrie, we are going to make it through. I cannot believe it. 7 questions of the year in review. All right. So folks, we want you to live and really thrive and flourish in 2025. And so part of doing that is reflecting on the year that has been.
Thrive in 2025.
I thought it was like alive in 2025. I'm the one who said thrive.
Stay alive.
Stay alive in 2025. Yeah. All right. Year in review. What did I change my mind about this year? What created energy this year? What drained energy this year? What were my anchors or who were my anchors this year? What did I not do because of fear? And now the last two questions. What were my greatest hits and what were my biggest misses? All right. I think it's my turn to go first. What were my greatest hits? Well, again, at the center of everything was this Camino. And I can say the biggest hits of the Camino, I actually told the story. Again, I think most of them heard it, were the last 2 full days of the Camino. And then on the final day of the Camino, I went into Santiago. But the last 2 full days, the only way to get done, and I did it for you, dear, it was you. Mm-hmm. It was always for you. It was all about you. I'm quoting Pride and Prejudice, folks. You must know. It was you. I walked 29 miles up to that point. The longest I had walked was 24. And it was rainy and windy and stormy. And I got to the inn and they had locked the door. And I pounded and I made a phone call and I rang the bell and finally they let me in. And I just went up and collapsed. And I'm thinking to myself, that was the longest walk I've ever done in one day until tomorrow when I'm going to walk 38 miles. How am I going to do
I
this?
don't know how you did it.
I don't know how I'm going to do this. And I woke up at, I just woke up without an alarm at 3:20 in the morning and it was storm, just a storm. Now, not a big deal, right? Unless you have Camino gear, which is nothing, right? So I just have
Little windbreaker.
a little windbreaker, which is going to be soaked in minute one. And so at 4 in the morning, I go out that front door, it locks behind me, and there's no way back in. And it's a storm and it's pitch black. And I walked 12 and almost 13 hours straight and made it 38 miles. So that was my greatest hit. And again, I fell. I just collapsed in my room when I made it to the other side. But wow, I did it.
It's
Holy
amazing.
cow.
My greatest hit was I kept the car clean for all the month of January and March. I think I kept it. I'm joking.
I'm like, that's not on the board.
Whatever I say is not even going to compare. So I just thought the most ridiculous thing. Something that I was really proud of is we did an auction item for the Chesterton Academy, and it was an art and wine night. And I had an amazing artist come, and what she chose and how she ran the evening was really gifted and phenomenal. And then my daughter drove up here from Oregon and did the whole wine and charcuterie board with my other three daughters. And I want to say, it sounds like, oh, it was your greatest hit. It was just this very beautiful night, and the everything was on point. The weather, the food, the wine, the setting, the actual art we did, the music. And then it was topped off by the Northern Lights, which we were all hoping to see someday in our lifetime. And the girls were thinking of going up to Alaska to see the Northern Lights. And that night, as the night was drawing near, we went outside and we could kind of see this fluttering, and we went, oh my goodness, because I had this app on my phone that alerted me. And as soon as I shoot everyone out the door, we piled in a car. I think there were 12 of us, our kids and another family, and we drove up to Green Bluff. And it was just so, it's like it was like a night that you just will never forget for the rest of your life. That kind of momentum, everything hit, and I don't know, it was just beautiful. And I would love, I mean, I don't want that night every night. It was just too much. But just all that happened was, I'm just really grateful to God. So grateful for his goodness and his kindness. Another hit.
And I'll just interrupt there,
Go ahead.
just to say that was a beautiful night, especially those reflections at the beginning of the night. Who did those? Oh, that was me. We forgot about
I
my
forgot
involvement.
about your cars. Yours, it's not a fair.
No. What I was going to say was that I think that reflecting back on your year, your greatest hits are connected to the using of your gifts in ways that glorify God. I think that that's a beautiful like principle to call out that folks, you will find fulfillment, you will find joy, you'll find a sense of delight as you look at your life through the lens of what were the gifts God has given me and where have I used them for his purposes. So
I love that. Thank you, Tom. The family reunion, I think I've mentioned twice already, but what you just
that
said.
only happened because of you. You're the one who pulled it together, made sure people had it on their calendars. You were relentless with communicating out to them, getting people to commit, getting them to want to show up. And then you did all the heavy lifting to make sure that the event itself was going to be everything from the meals to the games, the activities,
The
the
theme,
setting, the theme, all of it, right?
the
All of it.
t-shirts, the housing.
Getting t-shirts. Yeah, I
Yes.
mean, it was amazing. All the work that you did. And again, it was, you have not only you're gifted at it, but you have a passion for family as something that has come from God and that God wants to meet us in family and wants to bless us through family. And you have brought an enrichment there that the next generation down, they find so much delight in that reunion. And they're like, Auntie Carrie, Auntie Carrie, Auntie Carrie, when are we going to do another one? We're going to, oh, I wouldn't miss it. because it's such a powerful experience for the kids that otherwise they wouldn't have. They'd be left with social media, exchanging pictures and texts.
Summer work. Oh, praise the Lord. I mean, just thank the Lord. It was so, he really blessed it.
I had one other one of my greatest hits, and that was my real estate work. I found that was it felt like it's matured and grown last year. And it gave me a greater sensitivity to the way that my work as a real estate agent is so powerfully connected to faith, that it's not simply that I'm helping families move in a Benedict option, but when I'm helping families either to discern moving away or discern moving here, I used to use that word discern. There's prayer involved. There's God involved. There's like I'm using the full giftings that God has given me as a consultant and an executive coach. I bring them to bear in helping families make moves. And, you know, whether I'm helping first-time home buyers who are just entry-level homes, or I'm helping a luxury home buyer who's moving towards retirement, and, you know, vastly different sums of money involved, but it's the same meaningful connection that I get to make with families. It's like a privilege to get access to them. So
that's so awesome.
That for me is beautiful. All right. Biggest misses, Carrie. Biggest misses. I went first, so it's your turn.
I gained weight this holiday season. So I think this is the most I've weighed. I think I gained like 5 pounds. So that's a miss. It's partly menopause. I don't feel like I have figured out how to.
Can I say that too?
Sure.
Yes.
No, I read enough to know that there's stuff going on where I think before it was just easier for me to stay fit and stay in shape and fight the calories. And I feel like I've given in, or I've softened in my, what's that?
Resolution.
Yeah. Kind of like to fight that. But
hope springs eternal.
It's not been all lost. The other miss, I think I mentioned this already, use of phone. One thing I just want to say about the use of phone, it also is an anchor. Earlier, we talked about anchors. When I listen to some of the podcasts, whether it's like the news from Bill O'Reilly or Dr. Laura, Dr. Ray, in the arena, John Mark Comer's teaching, all of that content for me has been anchors. So I really appreciate that. It's other stuff I do on the phone, you know, like scrolling. So yeah, that'd be my miss, is not wasting time on the phone.
So for me, with the Camino at the center of my greatest hits and the anchor and, you know, energy, created energy, all that stuff, my biggest miss was the post-Camino momentum. I came back and I was so convicted and resolute. I will not go back. I am not returning to a pre-Camino life. And I was really strong on that for 3 hours.
No, you were strong for like 3 weeks.
Several weeks. I was very strong on it. And then I started to give in little bits. And it wasn't like the dam burst. I don't think there was any like one moment where I'm just done.
Yes.
But I don't have, honestly, like a good, clear answer why I fell back into some old patterns, especially around eating. But I got to tell you, it did reinvigorate for me the importance of a Camino in terms of a gracious disruption, that what's required to really engage in life in a more vigorous, rigorous, generous way is, in fact, a courageous way, is a disruption of the existing way that we're living.
You know, I think people do welcome disruptions when it's gracious.
Gracious. Like, yeah.
Yes. I think that's why we appreciate going on retreats or getting away for a weekend or kind of getting out of the day-to-day space of home and being able to be fed or have input that is from somewhere else, whether it's God's word or from a great book, that just kind of helps break up our thinking and our way of being.
Mm-hmm. So the last big miss is, I think, also connected to the Camino. And that was, I had certain like big goals, this 10X life stuff. And a lot of it worked, in writing and getting on the internet more. But one of the big misses was carrying forward the Holy Face devotion. I've got the beautiful image of the Holy Face here. There was so many graces connected to it, but for whatever mysterious reason, I didn't carry that one forward. So I want to see what the Lord has for 2025 around the Holy Face devotion. So.
Sure.
All right, Carrie, we just have 10 seconds left. I just want to thank you for walking with me through this year in review. It hopefully is going to lead to a beautiful 2025.
Amen.
All right. Thank you all. God bless.